This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome. This is Colleen O'Grady, the host of the Power Your Parenting Moms with Teens podcast. This is a gathering place for moms to be encouraged, nurtured, and inspired. Also, you'll learn the latest in teen research and trends and get practical parenting tips. You really can improve your relationship with your teen and enjoy the teenage years.
Welcome back, everyone, to the 165th episode of Power Your Parenting, Moms with Teens podcast. I'm Colleen O'Grady, the host of the show. Hey, moms, you are so close to finishing the school year. May is that last push, and I know you moms are spent and are all mothered out. I think of this like a huge self-care debt. The sleep experts talk about if you don't get 8 hours of sleep a night, that you will have a sleep debt that you need to make up if you want to feel your best, and that it is best that you make up that debt sometime during the week. So moms, I know that you have racked up a huge self-care well-being debt, and now is a time that you can pay back that debt, and that is crucial to you feeling good and not being all mothered out and getting your I feel good energy back. So my prescription is that you are intentional to make that up to yourself. It is not selfish. It is needed. And one easy way to do this is just to be extremely kind to yourself this summer. Moms, if your daughter is going to be a junior, senior in high school, or is heading off to college or in college, I know some great summer reading. My recently released best-selling book, Dollop the Dream, Make Your Daughter's Journey to Adulthood, is available now in bookstores and online everywhere. This is a guidebook for moms who want to know what to expect in those 17 to 25-year-old years, and what's your role. And for moms who want to avoid drama traps and want to stay connected with their daughters in the busy high school years and when they leave home. All right. Today's guest is all about safety and security. Safety expert and former scientist, Kathy Pedreas, is best known to her 2.3 million TikTok followers as the quote, mom friend. With her signature blue dress and pearls, Kathy's content includes clever safety tips, such as how sleeping with a door closed can save a life and go-to lies for awkward situations and what not to post and what to do when strangers approach you. Kathy's safety life hacks have been covered by Good Morning America, BuzzFeed, Today, and more, as well as in her new book published by Simon & Schuster, The Mom Friend, Guide to Everyday Safety and Security, Tips from the Practical One in Your Squad. So welcome, Kathy.
Thank you so much for having me.
I'm so glad you're here. You're going to have some great stuff to share with our moms. Mm-hmm. So are you a mom?
I am a mom. I'm a new mom, actually, a three-month-old, but I felt like I've been a mom for almost 18 years because I have a younger sister who's about to turn 18. So, you know, she came into our lives when I was in college already. So it was like I was a mom.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure that's true. So what prompted you to focus on everyday safety and security? And you have a new book out, right?
Right. Yep. It's called the Mom Friend Guide to Everyday Safety and Security. And it's the best way to describe my content. It really happened organically. I started posting on TikTok, you know, kind of the way a lot of people did during the pandemic. They were just bored and, you know, I would do some trends and things like that. And then one day I shared some random things I keep in my first aid kit for safety that were a little bit unique because I took a 4-month long first aid course. It's one of the ones that they, you know, require for like nursing students and things like that. And I just wanted to take it because when we had my little sister, I realized that as a college kid, I didn't really know how to take care of a child, you know? So I was like, what if she chokes on something? What if she gets hurt at the playground? Like, I got really worried about that. And so I took this really long first aid course and I learned a lot and I shared some of the unique things that I keep in my car for first aid purposes. And that had to do with safety. So when I posted that, people loved it. That's when they started calling me the mom friend of the group. And then after that, I didn't immediately know that I would continue posting about safety or security, but just as, you know, I got comments and I interacted with people, it just sort of happened organically. And I realized, you know what, this is a topic I really do have a lot to say about, not just because, you know, of my experience taking care of my little sister or, you know, just always wanting to be like prepared and practical and things like that. My mom is like that. But also because of my background in national television, I was exposed to some of the risks of, you know, having your information overexposed online and how that can really present itself in your physical world, not just your digital world. So I realized I'm in a unique position to talk about it. And it just, the community helped me find that though. They helped me find my perspective. And yeah. Then it's been like 2 years and I haven't stopped.
Yeah. So you have 2.3 million TikTok viewers.
Yes, 2.3 million followers on TikTok. And then for views, you know, I haven't looked recently, but I know it's well over 100 million, but it's kind of been a while. I get a little bit of anxiety when I look at numbers. So I try to post and not look at the numbers just because I don't want that to be my driving factor.
Yeah, but it obviously shows that there is a need for this.
Yes. Yes. 100%. And people have, you know, opinions about it, strong opinions sometimes. And or sometimes they're like in complete agreement. Sometimes they think it's completely being paranoid. That's usually the men who will comment that. but yeah, people definitely have opinions about it. And I think also the timing of when I started posting, you know, at the beginning of the pandemic, we weren't seeing what we're seeing in the country now with, you know, this uptick in violence and cybercrime. And, you know, we're really learning a lot more now. Things have changed a little bit. And so I think that's also part of the reason why people have engaged more. And of course, I didn't know that was going to happen. I don't think anybody did, but I think it's definitely a factor.
Yeah. Yeah. So what are 5 seemingly innocent questions that strangers use to take advantage of you?
So this is interesting because of course it, you know, if your bank teller is asking you where you live or something like that, because they're trying to pull some bank information, that's a very specific scenario where, you know, you probably would have that conversation. But if the person at the grocery store or at the gym or, you know, places where they don't really need to have this kind of personal information starts asking you, where do you live, or parking lot, you know, where do you live? Why are you alone? Or are you alone? Like these kinds of questions, are you nearby? These kinds of questions try to point to a vulnerability, right? Like somebody's asking, are you alone? Or why are you alone? Means they've already observed that you're alone. And they're asking that for a specific reason. Now, of course, the follow-up question would reveal what that reason is. And similarly with the, you know, where do you live, or do you live nearby, or are you in the building? Those kinds of things, you know, it's the same thing. They're trying to like pinpoint a location. And sometimes it could be very innocent. You know, I had somebody ask me that question because they were making restaurant recommendations, but they really didn't need to know where I live to be able to give me restaurant recommendations. I was at a grocery store. You can kind of figure out if this is my grocery store, I must be in the area, right? So, you know, but it was an innocent question. But so these kinds of things, there's also sometimes people get really in depth and they start asking about like your financial stability. Do you have people, you know, at home that love you kind of thing? If you're not in a secure place at home, right? You're not, you don't feel loved or, and this is something that I struggle with my little sister, especially going through those teen years where they're very vulnerable. And they're especially vulnerable, at least in my experience, of, you know, believing random strangers on the internet. And so, you know, when people start asking those kinds of questions, it's, for me, they're asking because they want to know if something happened, is anyone going to notice? Mm-hmm. Or is anyone going to care? Mm-hmm. You know? And I have to say that, not to be scary, but I went through this with my youngest sister during the teen years when kids are not home, when they go missing, right? Runaways or whatever, the police do not take it as seriously because I had that happen with my sister.
Oh, and gosh.
In Florida, so I don't know if it's different states, but in Florida, they were like, oh, you know, it's 3 to 5 days before we assign a detective. Then they were like, well, she obviously doesn't want to be home. And I'm like, I don't care. She's under 18. It's very difficult as with somebody with a teenager, because, you know, if an 8-year-old goes missing, they take it very seriously. But a teenager, they automatically assume runaway, and which oftentimes may be the case, but a runaway still needs to be reunited with their home, you know, and they are still susceptible to talking to these strangers online. And, you know, that's what happened in my sister's case. So it's concerning.
Yeah. Cause there are predators out there.
Of course, predator, just even people with, you know, not the right group. You get involved with people that are, you know, they like being around substances. If they like being around substances, sometimes they like being around weapons, you know, it becomes like a whole lifestyle, just not great decisions. And that's something that my family is like struggling with now. It's crazy because of course I talk about safety all day long. I'm constantly, but I don't live with her. So that's the difference. But I talk about safety all day long, constantly talking about, you know, not following like these scammers and fake profiles and these kinds of things online. I've audited her social media with her, but you know, some people need more reinforcement. And I think the challenge is that, you know, we don't live together. So I can't be there every day to be like, that kind of auditing behavior. Why does this account look fake to you? Why does this, look at this DM that you got, you know, why do you think that person is asking you that? These kinds of questions. Of course, the difference too, is that when the advice is coming from someone within your family, you typically don't heed that advice the same way as if it's coming from a stranger on the internet, which is weird, but that's the way it is.
Yeah. So I know you talk a lot about what not to post. So mm-hmm. If you're coaching moms to coach their daughters, so what not to post?
Yeah. And this is a conversation I've had with my sister a lot too. So school uniforms, right? And I get it. They're at school. They want to take selfies with their friends on Instagram, on TikTok, whatever. Cover the emblems. They can do that. They know how to do it. Don't worry about it. Or turn the shirt inside out. If you're in a, you know, you want to quickly do it. Just nothing in the background that shows, you know, the school, or if they always work out at, you know, a particular gym, they're gymnasts or they're, you know, soccer players or whatever, that kind of thing. And they're always showing like at the same location, not to show that kind of stuff. School IDs also, I would say employee IDs, teacher IDs or anything like that, because, you know, if somebody, and this is something that I had learned at my old job, but if somebody wants to copy that, to try to impersonate an employee or a student or whatever, they can potentially use that information. I would say those are the big ones. Obviously, license plate, house numbers. If you're doing anything, you know, say they're getting their first credit card and they're super excited about that, obviously you wouldn't show the numbers of the credit card, but also being aware of what's in the background, like is the envelope that was just opened in the background, college admissions letters. Maybe there's an address on that. Maybe you don't want, a lot of people do share what school they go to. I suppose that depends on how public the person is and, you know, where their comfort level is. You know, maybe they don't want people knowing exactly what dorm they're in and stuff like that. Maybe the campus is very big. It's University of Maryland, let's say, or University of Delaware, huge campuses. Okay, maybe you feel comfortable with that, but you don't want them to know that you're in ABCD dorm. So those kinds of things, like that, pinpoint locations. And then obviously, and then this is a big one, but anything that has to do with a crime, if you are underage drinking, smoking, like any of that, you should not be posting that on the internet. I mean, I guess in some ways it probably can help parents figure out what's happening. But literally there's, you know, departments that this is all they do is just scan the internet. And so to find, you know, crimes. And so that's an obvious one, but it's also not obvious for kids because they want to be cool with their friends.
Oh my gosh. That happens so much. There is a high school in Houston and they have kind of these high school sororities and fraternities. And they have all these pledging things where, which is really not good. And so they take tons of those pictures and post those online. And of course that gets back to the school.
Right.
And it is not good for the parent who have all these kids in their backyard doing all these things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the parties and things like that. I mean, ideally as a parent, you would want to know if your kid is into that, but you also want to protect them, you know, if they're, you know, you don't want something like one night drinking or something to follow them for the rest of their lives, unless, you know, unless it was like a bad crime or something. But yeah, so just being aware, and it's hard. I'm on social media. I post 1,000 things every day. And so I get it. I get that need to want to click post. And sometimes I have to reel it back and be like, meh, maybe this isn't necessary to post, even though I really want to. Posting in the moment is another one. Posting in the moment. You know, I just finished with my master's. And so I had my graduation, but I waited until after I was home to post all my graduation pictures and things like that.
Yeah. I love what you said about the backgrounds, because I think most of us don't ever even think about the backgrounds. Mm-hmm. And so going back to kids and parties, like you might take an innocent picture with your friends, but, you know, people are doing all sorts of things in the background.
Yeah, definitely. Going back to my sister, you know, when she wasn't home, and one of the ways that I was able to determine who was assisting her and who was lying to police and lying to my mom and lying via text messages and all of that was through social media. My sister took a video in the girl's bedroom and she had a specific collection of posters in the back. I matched that up with somebody who was already on my short list of, you know, leads, started looking through her public social media profile. And I found that the posters were identical and sent that over to the police. And I was like, here you go. What else do you need? This is the same house for sure. I mean, of course, from like an official perspective, you know, they could be like, well, they could be another room. That's like, but anyways, from a common sense perspective, it's the same person. And that was one of the ways that we got her back. The police call it smoking them out. When you start closing in on like their resources. So anyways, but it was through social media.
That's awesome. Do you have any safety tips for girls who use like Uber or Lyft a lot?
Yeah, that's a tough one. You know, my mom does not allow my little sister to use that because, you know, well, it depends on your child, right? Like she isn't mature enough to really care for herself in those ways. I have a 12-year-old niece who I would trust implicitly because she's very mature and she's very secure and very outspoken. She knows how to defend herself. You know, she's very good like that. So it really does vary based on your child and, you know, your relationship and how you trust them and things like that. But there are fantastic features. And this isn't just for Uber and Lyft, but for, you know, a lot of the apps online, there's a ton of safety features built in. For Uber and Lyft, they have, I know more Uber. I haven't used Lyft in a while, but I did initially kind of cross-check these things. They have a security PIN that you can give the driver. So basically, anytime you order a car, they would have to know a specific PIN in order to pick you up and you get into the car. So you can do that for every single ride, or you could do that only for nighttime rides. You can kind of pick that, but that's a good one. Obviously checking the, you know, the license plate, the profile picture, that kind of stuff is very common. You can share locations. That's also very common, not only through the app, you could share it through WhatsApp. You could share it just on your phone in general with your family. iPhone or Apple just came out with nice family sharing features where basically it enables the phone to, and this is more for other apps, like general social media apps, but it enables the phone to identify sensitive kind of content that might be sent to your kid. It doesn't tell the parent because they didn't want to cross that privacy line, but it does tell the kid, you know, is this offensive to you? Are you sure you want to see it? We've identified. So it does that. which is nice. And then the other thing regarding Uber is there are features as well where you can turn it on. And this is all in the settings where it'll prompt you, you know, if the driver's been stopped for too long, it'll say, hey, we notice you aren't moving. Are you safe? If you're not safe, you can call police or whatever directly from, you know, from the phone. So there's a ton of features built into it, which is really nice. And I think a lot of the times that we hear those like horror stories in the news, a lot of it has to do with people that got into the wrong cars because they didn't do any of these extra steps.
Yeah, no, that's good. Mm-hmm. All right. So I just thought of something around like Snapchat, mm-hmm. like Snapchat map.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So with that, and actually even Twitter will kind of default geotag to your home kind of stuff. Instagram, I don't think it does that. Or if it does, I've had mine turned off for so long that I don't remember. But you can turn off those kinds of features with the geolocation or at least be hyper aware of it. You know, what are you posting and things like that? Check before you click that post button. Did you tag your house? But the other thing with Snapchat that a lot of teens do or preteens, they post pictures to their private like camera roll in the app. I forgot exactly what it's called in Snapchat. It's not called a camera roll, but their private like folder. And what happens is that if your account gets hacked, which a lot of teens and tweens and things like that don't have the best cybersecurity, you know, practices, they tend to reuse the same kinds of passwords. It tends to be their dog name and birthday or their brother's name and birthday, brother's birthday. You know, it tends to be like really obvious stuff. And so because of that, it's easier to hack them. And so what happens is sometimes they have very private pictures on these like hidden camera rolls that they haven't posted public. But if that account gets hacked, now that can become public. And that has happened to, it happened in a middle school in Florida to a girl that was there. So that's another thing that I would remind anybody of, not just teens and tweens, but, you know, just anybody, is that when we're saving things in our drafts, TikTok drafts and things like that, private folders, public, it doesn't matter. If you want something to remain private, you don't save it in any of these apps. You know, Facebook, we don't own these apps. We don't have any control over them. They get hacked every single day. And it's not just, you know, grandma and grandpa getting hacked. It's young people all the time, especially when it comes to financial type of stuff, like cryptocurrency and stuff. The young people are the ones that tend to fall for that. So, and get their accounts hacked as a result. So yeah, it's just really important to know that if you want something to remain private, which hopefully we all think that our teens and tweens are not doing anything like that, but either way, best practice is not to keep these things in these apps.
That is such good advice, mm-hmm. because I think all of them do. So,
yeah, right. We hope that they're not, because they're just little babies. But
well, I mean, and I think especially the tweens up through sophomore and high school are the most vulnerable to some of this stuff. Mm-hmm. Yes. So moms who are listening, they just don't have that kind of common sense. But then also, we don't even know how to protect them. We don't even think to tell them these things.
Of course. Yeah. I mean, unless you've, you know, seen it or kind of in that news cycle, right? Talking to those friends that are in the industry or whatever, you really don't often hear about these things. I mean, you might hear about some bigger scams. Oh, this supply chain was hacked. A hospital was hacked. You might hear about things like that. But often the little kinds of scams and things like that don't go around. So a couple things is, of course, not keeping private information in these apps. And it's not just, doesn't just have to be, you know, like private kinds of pictures. It could be those school uniform kinds of photos, the driver's license kind of photo. Like it could be anything. You got your first driver's license, like maybe you posted a covered one publicly, but you kept one privately that you just shared with your friends. If you're going to do that, you know, do it in like a text message, not in an app. And if you do it in an app, then delete it. But then you risk that, you know, if they get hacked. And then the other thing is taking advantage of the settings, like the two-factor authentication, that really does help. The problem is that a lot of kids cannot remember their passwords. So that's where the parents come in, because otherwise, every single time that they get locked out of the account, you're setting up a new email, with a new password, they lose everything all over again. So you just have to tell them, like, listen, if you're going to reset the password, which oftentimes it's the parent's phone or something that it's linked to, you got to like save it. And because you don't want this, these accounts just getting locked out and living out in the cyberspace forever.
Right, right. Well, and then you said earlier, which I think is great, is to really be mindful about your passwords.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, and not have it your brother's name or date of birth or all of that.
Right. And of course, that's what's easiest to remember, right?
Yeah.
So I get it. But what I like to do, honestly, is I'll sit in a room and I will pick out like three random items in that room. Like right now, for example, I have a water bottle in front of me, a planner, and a hair clip. So I might do bottle, planner, clip, a series of numbers with some symbols, you know, and then eventually it might take a minute to remember that, but eventually you start remembering it. Or if you really love, well, it shouldn't be something you really love, but, you know, I don't know if there's a plate of food, I try to just come up with like a random sentence. You can even do it in different languages. If you're bilingual, it's even better. If you misspell things, it's also better, actually.
I love this. It's so practical. All right. So let's say that your daughter is graduated from high school, or she's even going into her sophomore year in college and is getting her first apartment.
Yeah.
What should a mom tell her daughter to kind of help prepare her?
Speak about this if it's on campus or off campus, because it's a mix. But number one, move-in days is like a high theft period. If you're on campus and it's a small campus, there's, you know, maybe better security and things like that. But move-in days and any vacation types of periods where, you know, students are off campus, those are like high times when there's theft and stuff like that, just because they know there's less eyeballs on them, right? And there's a lot of empty dorms and empty apartments just sitting there with nobody going to find out if they got robbed. The other thing is there's, I mean, aside from, and I think a lot of teens and college students are kind of familiar with this practice already of sharing locations and things like that, but really communicating the importance of people need to know where you're at. If you're planning to go to that sorority party, that frat party, that whatever party, maybe mom isn't going to be happy to hear that you're out till 4 a.m., but mom needs to know that you're out till 4 a.m., you know, or dad or whoever, somebody needs to know, because if something happens, and it doesn't have to be anything crazy, but let's say you have, I don't know, an allergic reaction or something, you know, like people need to know where you're at. And sharing location and stuff like that helps. There's a ton of features built into the phone and built into like all of these apps. And then there's also some other tools, like there's smart SOS type of jewelry that you could wear. It's almost like if you've seen those Life Alert commercials, mm-hmm. I've fallen and I can't get up.
Yeah,
it's very, very similar to that, but for young people. That emergency button is hidden in really cute jewelry, charms that you could put on a keychain, a necklace, a hair tie, a wristband, really cute stuff. And it could be beaded bracelets. I mean, it's adorable. And so what this does is this button, you click it twice and it connects to an app that's on your phone. And, you know, you've obviously given it access to your location and your emergency contacts and all of that. And by clicking it twice, it sends a notification to emergency contacts, police call you. You know, it kind of depends on the level of service that you have within these apps, but there's a lot of really cool safety apps like that. So for me, I would say, you know, take advantage of everything that technology has to offer. And just to be aware that, you know, when kids are off campus, when you're moving in, when you're not moving in, like these are, you know, times that are make you an easier target, at least in the case of theft.
Mm-hmm. So what about like someone knocking on their door and saying, you know, I'm the plumber or I'm the pizza man?
Yes. That is a big one. And I've actually had that happen to me. So it could be several things, right? It could be a scam of somebody trying to sell something. You give the credit card, all this stuff, and you never get the product. That happens all the time. But the other thing is it could just be somebody trying to gain entry, right? You open the door, oh, you need help, whatever it is. And then now you're in a position where you're more vulnerable because somebody could just push through the door. And so, I mean, oftentimes with that kind of stuff, my recommendation, and I think the recommendation of a lot of people is just to, ignore. You know, you could tell them, oh, leave a flyer at the door. If it's somebody doing maintenance, I guess it depends on the building, but they should typically notify you ahead of time, have an appointment. I've lived in apartments, like especially the newer kinds of rentals where there's like online systems where you submit, you know, maintenance requests and they accept it and things like that. So you kind of already know if you're expecting somebody. So yeah, I generally would just ignore that stuff and just tell them, you know, to leave the flyer, whatever. If they're being pushy, then it, you know, you might need to call some help.
Right. So are there any more survival tips for personal safety? I watched your GMA show, which was great.
Thanks. Yeah, those were actually tips. A lot of them, I mean, I'm sure I've talked about some of them on my social media before, but the GMA video was something that I had like created, you know, specifically for them and their like YouTube channels and social medias and things like that. Other practical tips, there's so many. Some of the easiest ones are to take advantage of things that are already provided to you, right? Things that are in the settings in your apps, technology that's already out there, you know, the SOS kind of jewelry. The other thing that I haven't mentioned, but is something that you could really use in a dorm, in an apartment, it doesn't matter if it's a rental or you own, is all of the security type of smart technology, right? The doorbell cameras, you don't have to hardwire it. You don't have to drill holes if you don't want to, you know, well, if it's a doorbell camera, you might need to drill two little tiny holes. But anyways, you know, it could be battery operated, solar operated. They have window sensors. I've even found them at the dollar store, a little window sensor. Of course, it's not connected to your phone or any emergency services, but, you know, it's a dollar and it beeps. And so that's a nice deterrent. So, you know, taking advantage of these kinds of things. I feel like when we're living on our own for the first time, we tend to get really comfortable leaving the sliding glass doors open and, you know, especially when the weather starts getting nice, if you live anywhere where there's a winter. And, you know, comfort is good, but comfort with like a level of awareness that just, you don't sleep with the door like that. You don't, you know, that kind of thing. That's probably the hardest for kids to learn on their own. But if it's a practice that they're already getting at home, it'll stick with them. Because, you know, my mom was always very cautious. I'm from Miami. You know, I was born in the 80s. And so like, there was a lot of things happening in Miami in the 80s and the 90s and things like that. And my mom was, you know, a part of, she even used a fake name. She didn't want people to, you know, to be able to track her because she worked in nightlife and stuff like that. You know, my mom was always very cautious. She gave fake names or partial names. She spelled her name differently. She, you know, had hidden phone numbers and things like that. And so I grew up this way and it just became second nature to me to continue those practices. And before we even had GPS and sharing location and all of that on our smartphones, since that's, you know, a relatively new technology, it's a great one. But before that, I used to text my friends where I would be in a like 10 to 15 minute interval. So for example, if I was going on a date with somebody, I didn't have a car my first few years of college because I was out of state. So I didn't have a car. So if somebody picked me up for a date, I would text every 10 minutes, the intersection that I saw while I was on the road and what was nearby. That way, if they didn't get a text or if something happened, somebody showed up on the news the next morning, they would be like, well, at this time, she texted me that she was at this interval, you know? And so you'd be surprised, but the habits do stick.
No, that's great. Mm-hmm. So I was thinking that, you know, there's a lot of girls who are anxious about things happening to them. And so I think this would be really great for people who are anxious too. It's great for everybody.
Right.
But it seems to me if you think ahead and you do these things, then that helps you be a lot less anxious.
And that's exactly what I've heard on my social media profile. So my concern when I started posting this stuff is, you know, I don't want people to be overly anxious. I don't want people to like be paranoid, you know, hiding behind every wall or whatever, because that's no way to live. You want to be cautious, but you don't always need to have the highest level of cautiousness. And what I found is that it was the complete opposite, that people said, I have a fear of these things because they're unknown. And when you're shedding light on something and making it known, now I feel more prepared. And it's just a matter of remembering at that point.
Yes, yes.
But you'd be surprised, because if you have that kind of training and if you practice, you know, a little bit, just like say a month or something, you kind of practice getting into a habit, you know, with the example that I gave earlier of being at the grocery store and somebody asking you where you live, I hadn't been asked that question. First of all, we were stuck at home during COVID, right? So I hadn't been asked that question in like at least 2 or 3 years. Nobody had really asked me that. But when that person asked me that, all of my training from when I worked on like national TV, and it was only a 1 day workshop where they told us, hey, out in the world, you might run into people who recognize you and they're going to be like, oh, are you in the neighborhood and things like that. They want to make nice conversation, but don't reveal too much. And so that was a 1 day training that I had years ago. And when that grocery store clerk asked me that question, it all came back and I immediately had a response from just that 1 day. So, you know, that kind of like recollection, I think is what my page helps with. And I think is what the book helps with too. One of the things that I had a lot of people tell me on my page is, you know, I want to share this with my friends, but I'm sending them 50 videos. Like, can you just put this all in one? And so that's really what the book is almost like an all-in-one with some background to it. Sometimes I share a little bit of research that, you know, informs the safety tip. And then of course I'm always adding to things. There's always new scams. There's always new things happening in the world. And so that's what I use my social media profiles for, is to share more things.
Yeah. I'm wondering, can you tell us what is your most popular video that you've noticed?
Yes. The most popular by far is actually a series. It's that grocery clerk series, actually. That's what it was inspired by. Him asking me, where do you live? And me being reminded of my training. And so I called it Situations When It's Best to Lie. I don't even know how I came up with that title, but it's been by far my most popular series. I think my top video has like maybe 36 million views or something like that.
Wow.
Just one video, but it's a, I don't know how many I've done, maybe 25 or something in that series. And they all hit at least a million, you know, minimum, but most of them are like in the 10, 5, 12 million range. And that's by far been my biggest series. A lot of people, of course, in agreement with it. And then a lot of people always say, oh, it's not good to lie. Lying is bad. Lying is, you know, this or that. And it's like, listen, I'm not saying lie about something major here. But so what I do in this series is I share those kinds of weird questions that could seem really innocent, but could actually be super revealing. And I put a lot of them in the book too. I just kind of like list the questions and sort of responses that you could use. So what I do is share that. And so of course people are like, well, lying is bad, which I'm like, look, they're just little white lies. I mean, many times you're not even really lying. Sometimes you might be lying like, oh, I'm going to my boyfriend's house or my dad's house. And maybe you don't even have a dad. I didn't grow up with a dad, but you use that excuse because you know that men are often intimidated by other men. And so you want to use that. That's fine. That's a lie, but it's fine. The other thing is people will say, instead of just lying, to just be aggressive and be like, no, get away from me, whatever, which that is good if a person is being persistent, right? But ideally you want to de-escalate something. So in the beginning, when somebody's just asking these like innocent kinds of questions and you're not really sure, are they being creepy? Are they? There's always a whole list of questions that goes through our head. So in those instances, that's when I use these kinds of de-escalation, like vague responses. And then if the person is persistent, now you know, all right, there's a problem here. I'm going to have to get really forceful and strong. They don't like, nobody wants to deal with the squeaky wheel, right? Nobody likes the squeaky wheel, but the squeaky wheel gets things done. And so my biggest series has been Situations When It's Best to Lie. And a lot of people in agreement, but then there's always the people that say, don't lie, or the people that say, no, be stronger. And, you know, it's a combination.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
So tell us about your social media. Tell us how they can contact you and your book.
Mm-hmm. So I keep everything really easy. It's Kathy Pedrayas, Kathy with a C. So if you just type in Kathy with a C, I'm typically the first one that pops up. But if I'm not, you add the P and then I'm definitely the first one that pops up. So on my social media pages, I've linked, you know, the book and all of that. But it's actually pretty easy to find. It's on Amazon. It's on Barnes & Noble. If you go to indiebound.com, bookshop.org, I believe. You can find local independent bookshops near you that are carrying it. You can also always request it from, you know, your independent bookshop, because the book is with Simon & Schuster. So the distribution channels are already there, very easy for them to order it. And then it's at Target as well. So it's, you know, very, very easy to find, but I also have it linked on my social media if anybody has any trouble.
All right. So thank you so much, Kathy.
Thank you so much for having me. This was a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun.
This concludes this week's episode of Power Your Parenting Moms with Teens podcast. If this podcast has been helpful, I would absolutely love it if you could go to Apple Podcasts and give Power Your Parenting Moms with Teens podcast a 5-star review. This makes it easier for other moms like you to find the support and encouragement they need. Also, my best-selling and award-winning book, Dial Down the Drama, Reducing Conflict, Reconnecting with Your Teenage Daughter, A Guide for Mothers Everywhere. You can find that and order it online at Amazon and Barnes & Noble. And you can always find other great resources and contact me at ColleenO'Grady.com, 2 L's and 2 E's.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.